Welcome, everyone, to ConjuraCast. I am the Canadian Kaiju, and I've been watching Godzilla my entire life. From a young age, every Easter, I would get a chocolate bunny and a Godzilla VHS tape. Why? I never asked my mom, but I'm sure glad she did. As we enter the seventh decade of Godzilla's reign, I wanted to share my fandom with you all. I'll be going through every movie, era by era, and eventually every iteration of the King of the Monsters. Please join me. Let's talk about Godzilla. In this episode, we are discussing the movie that started it all, Godzilla, released on November 3rd, 1954. Directed by Ishiro Honda, screenplay by Takeo Murata and Ishiro Honda, story by Shigeru Kayama, produced by Tomoyuki Tanaka, starring Akira Takarada, Momoko Kochi, Akihiko Harada, and Takashi Shimura. Showa era, 1954 to 1975. As we enter the 70th year of the Godzilla franchise, what better time to look back at the entire series? The first thing we should discuss is the breakdown of eras within the series of films. This film kicked off the Showa era of films, which ran from 1954 to 1975. Now, the naming of this era was for a very simple but important reason. This series of films were all produced during Emperor Showa's reign, from Godzilla 1954 all the way to Terror of Mechagodzilla in 1975. Godzilla went through many character changes, one could say, during this era. For this episode, the focus is on the 1954 release, which is very much a horror story. At least that's how I think about it. Development. As is most often the case, some of the best things happen by accident. First two things that come to mind are penicillin and Velcro. Another way is by that of happenstance. One such example is that without Lucille Ball, yes, the very Lucy that we all love, we wouldn't have the Star Trek franchise. Okay, I know this is a Godzilla podcast, but let me stray just a moment for this example. Lucille Ball is one of the greatest comedians who ever lived. She was also one of the earliest and most powerful women in television. Her studio, Desilu Studios, took a chance on Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek when the other studios passed on the idea. In an effort to keep her studio on the map, she took a chance on the five-year space mission. Striking a deal with NBC to cover 50% of the episode costs, Star Trek found its home. Happenstance also played a part in Godzilla's beginnings. In this case, it was politics and nations in a time of healing that created the opportunity for inspiration. In 1954, a combination of choices and circumstances allowed the opportunity for Godzilla to terrorize the box office for the next 7 decades. As we all know, the best laid plans can turn into something completely different. The original plan for Toho was to produce In the Shadow of Glory. This was to be a Japanese-Indonesian co-production between the two countries. The starring cast had already been determined, as it was to star Ryu Ikebe. The main character would be a former Japanese soldier who was stationed in the Dutch East Indies during the Japanese occupation of Indonesia. Alongside him, Yoshiko Yamaguchi would be playing his half-Indonesian love interest. Unfortunately, there was still anti-Japanese sentiment in Indonesia. As with most movies and stories, they stem from real-life events and experiences. During World War II, Japan occupied the Dutch East Indies, now known as Indonesia. This was from March 1942 until after World War II ended in September 1945. Suffice to say, there was still pressure on the Indonesian government to deny any and all work visas for any filmmakers coming into the country. Producer Tomoyuki Tanaka flew to Jakarta in an effort to renegotiate with the Indonesian government, but was unable to convince them otherwise. On the flight back home, Tomoyuki Tanaka thought of an idea for a giant monster film. Two things that occurred in the past year served as the inspiration for Godzilla. First, there was a film released in 1953 called The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, and second, the Dagofukurimaru incident, which happened in March 1954. This event played a big part in the story of Godzilla. On March 1st, 1954, a thermonuclear weapon test was conducted by the United States at Bikini Atoll. This caused the 23 men of the Dagofukurimaru to be contaminated from the resulting nuclear fallout. The crew suffered from acute radiation syndrome, ARS, for a number of weeks after the nuclear test. All recovered from the immediate effects except for Kobuyama Akichi, Serving as the boat's chief radioman, Kobayama succumbed to the complications of radiation sickness on September 23, 1954. He is now considered the first victim of the Hydro Bomb and of the test shot Casa Bravo. Inspiration leading to the idea now in place and a successful pitch to producer Iwao Mori, Godzilla was a go. Now what the hell is he gonna look like? Godzilla design. No one could have guessed that this decision choice would serve a 70-year-old and counting franchise as a template for one of the most iconic characters in all of entertainment. However, designers Tezo Toshimitsu and Akira Watanabe, under the supervision of Eiji Tsuburaya, could not have known the impact they would be making. A decision was made by this trio that the look of Godzilla would be based on a combination of dinosaurs, specifically the Tyrannosaurus Rex, Iguanodon, and the Stegosaurus. Now, the look of a T-Rex makes the most sense and is fairly obvious. Looking at an Iguanodon, it is clear that the hind legs and tail are represented. Now, if you're like me, merely uttering a word closely related to an iguana may send shivers down your spine, but we'll eventually get to the 1998 incident in a much later episode. Finally, we can see the Stegosaurus visually represented by the dorsal fins. I would argue the dorsal fins is perhaps the most distinguishing feature of any Godzilla iteration. The design is locked in. Now to bring this creature to life. The technique of suitmation was born. Suitmation. Suitmation is a filming technique initially developed by Eiji Tsuburaya for the use in Godzilla films. The suit actor would move through a scale model set of the desired scenery. This achieves the look of being a massive creature towering through, let's say, an unsuspecting city. The actor purposely moves slowly using very methodical movements. Think of The Undertaker walking to the ring for all the wrestling fans out there. This practice is teamed with being filmed at a higher frame rate than normal to make it all appear much slower. This gives the impression of a towering, massive, lumbering creature of your greatest nightmares. Finally, low camera angles are your best friend in further pushing that sense of scale. Something that is still done impressively to this day. Just look at Godzilla Minus One. Now, I don't consider myself to be the end-all and be-all of Godzilla knowledge, but I would have bet money on the fact that Godzilla was the first instance of a dude in a suit. I would have lost money. I found this out working on this very episode. So clearly, I'm still learning things myself. Here are some actual facts regarding the technique of dude in a suit. I mean, suitmation. Creature suits have been used since before movies were invented. This is not a shock. You might even consider this next bit as a foundation for the furry culture. The earliest instance of people dressing in an animal suit was found in the circus, specifically as part of a certain circus sideshow in London in 1846. The famous P.T. Barnum had an actor wearing a fur suit to portray an ant-man for his guests. In terms of cinema, Haru Nakajima and Katsumi Tezuka were not the first performers in a monster suit. They were 6 months too late. The first foam rubber creature suit used in a film was Gillman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, also released in 1954. Beat Godzilla by half a year. That suit was created by film special effects artist Don Post. The Godzilla suit was constructed by Kanju Yagi, Yasue Yagi, and Izu Kaimai. The materials for this construction included bamboo sticks and wire to build the interior frame, metal mesh and coats of latex to provide cushioning and to strengthen the frame, then molten rubber and latex with carved-in designs for the hide of Godzilla. Never forget to thank a stunt person if you ever meet one. Talk about the unsung heroes of movie making. This initial suit weighed 220 pounds. It was no joke. Neither was Haru Nakajima and Katsumi Tezuka, as they were chosen for their strength and were able to endure the entire filming process. Themes. We all know movies are an art form. What you or I may think can differ. Each person will take something different from a film. That's great. That's the best part. That's how fan communities are created, to discuss what and why we like this and that. Here are two themes that I take away from this film. Godzilla 1954 has two major themes that have always stuck with me. The obvious one that carried through the majority of all the films is that Godzilla was nature's revenge on mankind for creating the nuclear bomb. It explains Godzilla's reaction to being mutated, like an extremely painful process, and now you're being attacked. It takes right and wrong right out of the equation. Which of these themes makes the most sense to you, or is there another one you have in mind? Movie franchises. Now that we've learned all about the movie that started the greatest movie franchise of all time, I think we should talk about movie franchises themselves. Let's break them down in a few ways. What constitutes a franchise? Two movies wouldn't do it. Three is just a trilogy, so does that make the magic number four? Is John Wick a franchise now? The Godzilla franchise has 39 films to date, 33 from Toho, one from TriStar, and by the end of 2024, five from Legendary. MCU technically ties Toho in quantity since they have 33 films, and that franchise just started in 2008. Yeah, 33 films in 16 years. Thankfully, Toho paced themselves over the last 7 decades. Although it's entirely subjective, you could measure a franchise by how beloved it is by its fanbase. Now, without getting into the tricky territory of fandom, as a wrestling fan it can be dicey, to say the least, let's just focus on the love shown. When thinking about beloved lifetime fans, only two franchises come to mind that aren't the Godzilla franchise, those being Star Wars and Star Trek. Again, not at all trying to start anything. But in all my years of being a loyal fan to different franchises, those two, and Godzilla, come to mind as the most loyal. That isn't to say everything is loved unconditionally, but it takes quite a lot to shake their fanbase. Sometimes it feels like they are trying to get rid of their fanbase, but that's a discussion for another podcast with better fans than I. Finally, we could just go by the numbers themselves. Money talks, as they say. It's certainly not a measure of quality, but simply quantity. Looking at the box office numbers from CBR.com, the top 5 movie franchises are the MCU, like I said, with 33 films totaling $29.75 billion, Star Wars with 12 films totaling $10.33 billion, Harry Potter, 11 films, that's the main franchise and the spinoff, $9.57 billion, Spider-Man, 10 films now, $8.96 billion, and James Bond, 27 films, $7.88 billion. Godzilla's numbers don't even break that list's top 20. In fact, here's a rough estimate of the three movie studios totaling 38 movies. The 39th film, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, hasn't hit the theaters just yet at the time of this recording. Also, I must mention that the total number from the Toho films is a rough number at best. I converted them from yen to US dollars, but not specific to the inflation rate of the year of release. Plus, the numbers for Godzilla Minus One may not be final just yet. Enough preamble, here's the breakdown. Godzilla 38 released films, 33 from Toho, 1 from TriStar, 4 from Legendary released so far, $2.5 billion. The breakdown by studio is as follows. The rough numbers that I mentioned still apply here. Toho, $316 million. TriStar, with that one movie. Anyway, TriStar with that one movie, $379 million. And Legendary, with $1.9 billion. I'd say for monster movies spanning 7 decades, that's incredible. Finally, just for kicks, let's measure the franchises by longevity. Going back to that top 5 list, as the MCU, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Spider-Man, and James Bond, I think it's a safe bet that these franchises are continuing. Of those 5, only one threatens Godzilla's longevity. 00 himself. The first James Bond movie, Dr. No, was released in 1962. Next up, although not in the top 5, is none other than Batman himself. Batman's first film was released in 1966, aptly named Batman the Movie, starring the amazing Adam West. Finally, I have to mention Star Wars. A New Hope was released in 1977 and the franchise has been going strong for 47 years. Only time will tell in the end if any of these franchises can surpass the longevity of the King of the Monsters. So it's official. That makes Godzilla the 3rd longest running movie franchise of all time to this day. That's right, I said 3rd. At least officially 3rd by the end of 2024. With the release of Godzilla X Kong The New Empire. It's a long title. Let me explain. First off, there are two franchises older than Godzilla. The Mummy, and G-Man's newest frenemy, King Kong. That's right. In 1932, The Mummy was first released. Then in 1933, the first King Kong movie was released. Still an amazing movie and achievement, by the way. If you haven't seen the 1933 King Kong movie, it's a technological marvel. It's a great movie that still holds up, and what they pulled off in 1933 is fantastic. Anyway, I digress. Once Godzilla X King Kong The New Empire releases, the 69-year reign of the Wong Fei-Hung movie series will be in fourth place as the longest movie franchise. Starting in 1949, this 123 movie film franchise began. Yeah, 123 movies. Its latest being released in 2018. I'll be honest, I had no idea about this character. To be extremely brief, Wong Fei-Hung was a Chinese martial artist who lived in the 1800s and passed away in the 1920s. Jet Li has portrayed this character in four movies. Now we know that Godzilla has a record of 85 years to beat. Which will come first? Godzilla becomes the oldest movie franchise, or the Leafs win the Stanley Cup again? I can make that joke, I still believe. I always will. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I've been watching Godzilla movies my whole life, and I love learning about how these movies came to be. I'm happy to share what I've learned, and most importantly, my fandom with you all. Please reach out to @KenjiraCast on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. Let's talk about Godzilla.
Hey everyone, Lee the Editor here. I wanted to thank you all so much for listening to this inaugural episode of KenjiraCast. If you heard any music or sound effects that you'd like to use in your own projects, or simply want to support the original artists, you can find all the links to the various assets used in the paste bin available in the description. We'd still like to shout out the original artists and encourage you to visit their respective profiles at the websites mentioned. For music, we encourage you to visit the profiles Tavari, T-V-A-R-I, and good_b_music at pixabay.com. For sound effects, we encourage you to visit the profiles of Spotty Leonard, Pan Zen, and James Rowles, that's W-R-O-W-L-E-S, all found at freesound.org. We'll see you all next time in episode 2. Bye-bye.